About Last Night is a podcast series that I have wanted to record for ages. Each episode, I talk to someone who excels in their field about the highs and lows of their creative journey and how and where they find joy in their lives. Some people have asked me about the name, why About Last Night? Well, simply because I meet my guests towards the end of the day and we chat over a drink or two. This episode's guest is jewellery designer Tara Rosenbaum. Creating jewellery has been a passion for Tara ever since she was a child. It has never left her and obviously has now evolved into a successful brand. She produces limited edition and bespoke pieces using ethically sourced gemstones and eco-friendly sourced precious metals. The Tara Rosenbaum brand was founded in 2006 when Tara took a 5-month sabbatical leaving her corporate career in order to tap back into her creativity and make jewellery for a living. Her pieces are unique and bold, but also delicate, and they have a strong spiritual element to them. This was one of the first things that really grabbed my attention. These facets run through all her collections, and she draws a lot of inspiration from nature. Tara is very hands-on as a creative director, and she has a very personal involvement in every piece produced, from the conception stage, through the design process, and finally to production. In fact, we talk about how she loves the start-to-finish nature of a creative process, and of course, the wonderful interactions and accompanying stories that arrive with each client. So, we met up at Granger & Co. in King's Cross, where we had a few cocktails and nibbles. Tara's journey is absolutely fascinating. She is a great example of left brain, right brain, beautifully balanced. So we talk about that, we talk about what inspires her, and the values at the core of her business. Here's our conversation. This has been a long time coming. We have taken quite a few attempts at trying to get this together. I am sitting here today with Tara Rosenbaum, wonderful, wonderful jewellery designer. Thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure.
It was such a treat to be asked.
Well, I love the fact that our friendship is a product of social networking, because I've always been quite sceptical of social networking. But in some ways, it's worked quite well.
And I feel like you started following me before I even moved to London.
Maybe. Why don't we kick off with, how did you get into jewellery design?
I was working at the Rhode Island School of Design's Museum as a conservator, and that's in Providence, which was the, it was at one point the costume jewelry capital of America.
Wow.
And Tiffany made their silver jewelry there, and, you know, everybody had production. And I had, in order to go to grad school, I needed to take more art classes, so I was taking night classes. I took stained glass and watercolor, even though my whole childhood was all arts.
Okay.
Right? So I would bead, I would constantly make jewelry as gifts for people and stuff like that. I, like, later on in life, was coming back
to it. So a really young age, that was like your automatic impulse?
So for 5 years, I was an only child.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just known for sitting in my room and making things constantly, making doll's clothing, my Barbie doll. I wanted a Barbie doll really bad, but
okay.
I never played with the Barbie doll. I just made it clothing.
Okay.
And I didn't like it because it had a rubbery body, so the clothing was really hard to get on. I think they fixed that nowadays. And
I'm not okay with Barbie dolls.
I really don't know myself.
They're normal now.
Anyway, made this amazing, you know, like, red velvet dresses, and they even had little fur coats and pink and red and blue and all of these amazing outfits. And when it was all done, I asked my mom, a friend of mine was moving to Africa, and I said, can I give her my Barbie doll? Because I knew she liked it so much. And for whatever reason, I was like, I want to give her everything, all the clothing that I made and the Barbie doll, but not the box.
Oh.
Because the box was this little blue trunk.
Okay.
And I wanted to keep that, and I still have it to this day.
Okay.
So it was more the process of making, not so much having and keeping. My mom was a fashion designer.
Oh, okay.
So there was a lot of clothing, and I think you emulate the people around you.
Also, I read somewhere that you actually had a science background and a sort of, you went into sort of, shall we say, I'm using inverted commas here, but a kind of corporate, normal kind of job in life?
Yeah, I thought I was going to save myself from being that starving artist.
Okay.
I had a learning disability through school.
Okay.
And
that surprises me.
When I was going into university, I actually was really good at chemistry, and the chemistry lab teacher asked me to be the chemistry lab assistant, and I was like, oh my god, I'm an A student in science, like, I'm actually smart.
Yeah.
And I think I actually needed to take that journey
okay.
to build my confidence that I wasn't doing art because I wasn't good at anything else. I was doing art because I'm actually good at art.
How interesting.
So
okay.
The science journey really built my confidence.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had that kind of, did that pre-med and all of that science.
Oh, wow.
And then
so
as
you went
I was,
that far.
Yeah. And then when I was graduating, they were showing me, like, and these are the jobs you can apply for. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I do? Because I was working in a lab doing genetic cloning on a bacterial virus called T4.
Okay.
And because it was so science heavy, all the jobs that they were presenting me with were, you know, I was going to sit around pipetting for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I was basically looking at the gene that, so this is like a spaceship that lands on E. coli and Salmonella.
Oh, okay.
It throws its DNA into the cell of the E. coli and Salmonella and takes over.
Oh, wow.
And reproduces itself.
Wow.
And then the E. coli cell explodes and lots of little T4 babies reproduce. So I was looking for that specific gene of why that happened. And my mom pointed out that this is exactly what biological warfare, you know, this is what they're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I had gone so far, I couldn't step away and see that big picture. And when she said that, it also changed my whole, I was like, wait a minute, because you write papers and anybody can read them.
Absolutely.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And they're supposed to be able to reproduce. And
yeah, yeah.
So that also, not that that's where, that's not what we were doing. We were looking at it more from a medical perspective.
Any piece of science can be taken
and
you
done
can
whatever.
Do anything with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you were doing that. There's a massive leap between doing that day in, day out, and then starting a jewelry brand.
Basically, everything about me is artistic.
Yes.
So even when I was in pre-med, I was in my kitchen making egg tempera paints, like taking the egg yolk, grinding up the pigments, and painting.
Wow.
So even though that's what I was doing on kind of the surface of my education, I was still doing the arts in my private time.
Okay.
You know, I just, it's, you know, or
it's
gardening. I was gardening and I was, you know, I had amazing dahlias. I was living in the Olympia, Washington.
Oh,
in,
wow.
On the West Coast.
So it sounds like your, whilst your love and your passion is clearly jewelry design, you are satisfied in a very broad spectrum of creative pursuits.
I think when I was in high school and I learned about the Renaissance era and the whole idea of learning everything and
yes.
being good at everything,
yeah, yeah.
I said, that's what I want to do. I want to not just know one thing.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
want to be able to know everything. And also, that's why I travel so much, because I don't want the news to tell me
no.
what a country's like. I want to experience it and have my own experience to
yeah.
know, is that true?
Yes.
Is that right? It's so important to know from your own knowledge versus being told
no,
what
you're
reality
absolutely
is.
Right. I mean, the whole smelling it, tasting it, and touching it is so much more important than just experiencing things firsthand is really a wonderful thing. And it sounds like there are many different ways in which you feed your creativity.
Yes.
Your jewelry to me is quite unique, and it's bold. I mean, it's not it's bold, but it feels delicate at the same time. I'm wearing, people may have seen this on my Instagram, I'm wearing this beautiful chain that you made. And what I love about it is I've always wanted to layer, but my neck's quite small and I am quite small. Too much chunkiness just doesn't work.
Right.
Whereas this is chunky but delicate. And I think you have that. You have this boldness, but you have a delicacy to your pieces. And also there's this, I don't know whether it's because I've seen some of your pieces with semi-precious stones, but there's a spirituality that kind of, that energy that runs through them. Was that a conscious decision? How did you go about designing your collections?
So in 1998, I wanted to actually start the jewelry business. Okay. And my mom and I were actually looking at doing it together then. And we were going to call it Aurora Borealis.
Oh, okay.
And the whole idea was around stones and different meanings, meanings around color, meanings around the stones. I had a whole concept, and I remember in Providence meeting with a factory about producing this one thing, and they were like, well, we only take orders of 5,000. And I was 5,000? I don't know 5,000 anything, you know? So that, you know, took the step back, and I was like, all right, I need to reevaluate. But it was the first step towards it being a very spiritual, like we were talking about pieces that sat at the third eye and different chakras and the landing at the different points. And the necklace that you like has, you know,
which, let's describe it. So it's a labradorite necklace. It's very fine chain
with jump rings that have two labradorites on each side of the jump ring. And the idea is that you can change the length of it, but also so that you can hit the different chakras. So it goes long, so yes, it's hitting your solar plexus, it can hit your heart, and you can hit your throat.
Oh, that's wonderful. And why am I drawn to the labradorite? Because I tried on a lapis necklace of yours, which is very similar. The lapis?
Yeah.
Is it lapis?
Yeah. Well, I think that the beauty about stones is you're connecting to the grounded energy of Earth, which I think in today's world, we need that more and more.
We do.
So much of our energy is going up. It's in our head. We're getting farther away from our heart. We're on our social media. We're on our computers, and it's all here. So we need more grounding. I think that's part of why people are so drawn to stones now.
Yeah.
Because they're looking for something to kind of give that yin and yang balance to their
absolutely.
Life. And I think that, you know, thank goodness we're evolving.
Yeah, absolutely. So going from that and the significance of the stones, I love that idea of one necklace hitting different chakras. That's awesome. Tell us about the other parts of your collection, because it's all based in nature. There's a lot of, you've got your sort of Native American slant as well.
So I reconnected with a girlfriend that I knew. She's Japanese, and we found each other, and she lives in Hawaii, and she went to my website, and her email back to me was like, if I could have imagined a jewelry collection that you would have created, that is exactly it. So that was such a lovely email to receive.
As a creative, being authentic to your fire and your passion and your inspiration and what you see as your truth is so important.
So in 2006, I basically took a sabbatical, and I left the corporate job that I had working for Estee Lauder's Bumble and Bumble.
Okay.
I also had the coolest job. I'm not going to say I did, and I loved my job. And my title was curator for the building, and I got to do art exhibitions and, you know, do interior design and do their history wall and buy their books for their library. I mean, it was the best job possible for a creative. But it wasn't enough of my truth.
Right.
So when I took this time to actually explore it, I didn't, in anything that I do, I actually don't read, I don't do research. I want to find that core.
Yes.
So I went and I did this whole collection, and that collection was the Cherry Blossom collection, the Summer Leaf collection, and the Autumn Leaf collection.
Okay.
And when I came back, then everybody was like, oh, have you seen Ted Muehling? Have you seen this designer, that designer? And then it's like I did my research after, and I was like, oh, wow, I could have been more refined, or I could have been this. But
it was true to you.
It's so important that I actually don't look at things.
Yes. No, I totally understand.
But then at the same time, I'm either in a world of my own and people don't get it because there is an assimilation, right? They don't say, oh, I've seen the same thing here and here and here, and I understand it and know it.
I love that because I love the uniqueness.
And kind of being in that vacuum,
yes,
of knowledge and input is
it creates stuff, doesn't it? That's
because
the perfect environment.
You need to connect deep inside yourself.
So that vacuum and that your meditation and that sort of feeling of clarity that comes by giving yourself space, is that where the inspiration comes from, or are there other places that the inspiration comes from? And what are your favorite parts of the process? Is that seedling the most exciting part, or is it when you actually start working? Is the whole process?
No, it's the whole process.
Okay.
It's beginning to end.
How do you source your materials?
So one of the most important things to me is that I know the complete line of command that something has come from me. When I started my business, my dad had traveled all around the world, and I went to him and I said, listen, if the company can pay you, will you go to Colombia and go to some mines, and will you go to Sri Lanka? And he was like, are you kidding? And he was a seasoned traveler. He's like, I'm not doing that.
Oh, how funny.
And then I realized if my dad doesn't do it, then I shouldn't do it. So maybe this is one step too far. And that's why my collections in the very beginning were just in metal.
Right.
There were no stones, because I don't know where the stones came from.
No.
I don't feel comfortable.
And you need to know.
And I need to know. So it started just in sterling silver, because sterling silver has the least impact on the environment, even for mining, compared to gold.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry, this is an ignorant question, because I don't know very much about these metals. Why?
So when you mine for gold, you use mercury to bring it out. And mercury is toxic not on your hand, but it's actually the fumes. So while you're trying to bring it, Ted, you're looking at it, you're breathing it in.
Right.
Lifespans, you know, they use children for mining.
Yeah.
Stones, it's a very complex business. So
yes.
For my ethics, I could only control the fact that the silver was, you know, a cleaner.
Yes.
There's no such thing as clean.
Okay.
And it was a beginning to end that I could monitor. So when I got my first prototypes, I saw the prices. I then went this was in Indonesia.
Okay.
And I then went to their family villages in Java, in Bali, to see how people were living, to make sure that people were living in good conditions, that the prices were fair. I didn't want to see an impoverished situation, because then I knew that the prices were too low.
Yeah, and I think that's a wonderful thing to hear. And I think as a consumer, obviously you are drawn to designers for varying reasons, you know, certain clothes designers, certain jewelry designers, whatever. But I think more and more, this last year I have had a massive epiphany in the fact that I felt I need to be more discerning. You know, it's really important, and it's not good enough to say, I found out that certain brands don't have that great, don't have a clean supply chain, or don't really know what they're doing, or I've been into a boutique, and I say, you do your own brand, so where do you source your material? And they can't tell me. And if they can't tell me,
then you know it's broken.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm not so, it might be beautiful, the dress or the skirt, but it kind of takes the shine off. And I think that's a really important thing.
But this is our world.
Absolutely. But what would you say is your philosophy and the key elements of your brand?
So I think that I have always resonated with nature. And though that is a prolific influence in jewelry, it is something that at my core, when my graphic designer asked me, like, is there a symbol that you want around your logo? And I was like, a tree.
Yeah, okay.
Because I had always been drawing trees. The tree was such a backdrop to my childhood that it was an immediate. So it was the place where I started, But as time went on and years went on, it's been about getting back to colors and the stones and the meanings around that and exploring quantum physics.
So you're really pulling on all the threads in your life.
Yeah.
And bringing them into your creations.
I am.
And I guess the beauty with jewelry is you can create what you want to create without being tied to, you know, like clothes fashion is tied
real
to autumn,
trends.
Winter and this. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you don't have that.
No.
And what's beautiful about being thoughtful about what you do, and you seem incredibly thoughtful and sort of very discerning about what you do and what you put out there, is you can choose things. Everything you've created that I've seen is timeless.
Well, and it's supposed to be talisman.
Yeah,
right?
Yes. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, jewelry, I think, shouldn't be something that you're getting at H&M.
No.
It should be something that tells your story.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is your story and how are you going to express that? And right now, for instance, I'm making a necklace. The woman sent me her stepmother's pearls.
Oh, wow.
And she's passed away. It wasn't a lovely passing. And we're making this basically a talisman around who she was. Kind of, I had a collection called Death and Rebirth that still exists. The pieces
exist.
Yes,
the little skulls.
The little skull, the
those.
Autumn leaf, and the cherry blossoms.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're making this necklace that has those elements to show her cycle,
oh,
her
wow.
passing, and that it is a cycle.
Yeah.
So it's about being part of people's journey and honoring those moments with a piece of jewelry.
That must be a part that brings you great joy.
It's an honor to be part of their heirloom history.
Absolutely,
and to pass on to generations and to have proper meaning, not just, you know, there's the bling of things, but I want it to have real meaning so that people want to wear it too.
Well,
when it has meaning.
When you're talking about being grounded, sort of, we were talking about this earlier. We were talking about people's energies are very high, and you know, we're all tapped into our social media and everything. I feel that your jewelry is very grounded. I don't even know if that's a thing to say, but it's kind of like there's such
that.
Meaning that it feels
present.
Yeah, and a cornerstone, something really important. I mean, certainly I feel I love dainty jewelry, and I don't change my, swap my jewelry every day. I like to wear pieces, they're everyday pieces, which is why I'll go on about this again. This lovely chain. How do you describe this link?
So I call it a triangle chain, not that it's a triangle, but I made the wire for that link, for the links, and it's a triangle.
Okay.
And it was a triangle because, one, the triangle is the strongest shape.
Okay.
In the world.
Yes.
And when it's made into this link, it also catches the light differently.
Okay.
And it picks up the light because of the shape of the wire.
And you make it, or do you kind of make the
I make the
prototype. Yeah.
And then I have help with production
and presumably you know those people really well. And
I have been working with everybody since 2006 or 2008.
Wow.
So it's been long relationships, and I've watched the impact of us working together changing generations, children's lives, schooling.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know,
how gratifying
just,
is that?
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the importance of my business, was that I wanted to have a positive impact on all levels of my business, not just the end level. But from the beginning to the end. And it was also important that if when I made a prototype, I put a lot of love into something. I also wanted the people who made it to put a lot of love in it as well.
Of course.
So I actually will hold stock, because I don't want to put pressure and say, I need these many by this date.
Right.
I want them to be able to do it in a relaxed, loving environment,
yeah,
instead of a pressured environment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm getting the vibe, or I'm sure, I hope everyone else is feeling this as well, listening to this, that there are so many threads that bring you joy in your business and your sort of creative process, but it's pretty much everything. And I sort of get the impression, given the sort of person you are, that if this whole process wasn't joyful, you wouldn't be doing it.
No.
I think you're pretty...
I'm pretty clear. I mean, I have actually been extremely lucky to, even in my corporate job or whatever it is, I have loved my jobs.
Yeah, well, that is very lucky.
I think I am what in America we call a Pollyanna.
Okay.
And it was this character. Yeah. She had pigtails and she just always looked at everything positive. And
I have
that aspect to life.
You have that outlook.
Yeah.
What I find really interesting, because your brand is doing well. You know, you sell in the US, you sell in the UK, I'm sure you sell all around the world. You're on Moda Operandi at the moment.
Yeah.
You've had some great press in the FT and stuff like that. But there is a business side. And sometimes when you're a creative, the creative side and the commercial side don't marry up. Or it's hard to... How do you balance that
business? With, you know, a long, long time ago, I worked for Marc Jacobs on one runway show. And I was privy to seeing kind of the behind scenes. And of course, you see Marc Jacobs being completely creative. And then he has a business.
Yes.
Person who's running the whole business. And I think that's probably the ideal situation.
Yeah.
But in my situation... It's kind of all in-house.
It's all you. Yeah.
And I am lucky that I have enough of that other side.
Okay. So the other thing that creatives, I feel, myself included, find quite hard to juggle are your personal and professional lives. I mean, you do seem, I'm going to come back to the word grounded, but also very centered. I mean, it seems like you're very good at nourishing your creativity and nourishing yourself. But what happens when, how do you juggle your personal and professional life? And what do you do? How do you find your joy when, because there are always times when life gets on top of you.
Yeah.
And we have an overload of challenges. So how do you tap into your joy then?
So life is a journey. And I've only this January came into meditating to the extent that I'm meditating.
Oh, okay.
So before, I could meditate maybe 15 minutes.
Okay.
And everybody since, God, people have been recommending me to go to a silent meditation retreat since the late 90s.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I just did it this January. And it was imperative for me to do because I wasn't juggling properly.
Okay.
And it was affecting my health. It was, you know, I wasn't managing my stress properly. And it was a pinnacle point. I did this silent meditation and now I really feel like anything comes to me and I really am handling it well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am doing 1 hour meditation in the morning. I should be doing more, but if I wake up in the middle of the night, I meditate.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of been my de facto to kind of come back in, ground myself, listen to my body, listen to the aches and the pains and, you know, whatever it is, and try to be there for it.
Yeah, and connect all the aspects of yourself.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm a great advocate of meditation too and have done it for many, many years.
You have to give yourself that moment to be with yourself.
Absolutely.
So everything about our lives right now is about pushing, pushing, pushing and going and socializing and connecting and networking and this and that. So if you stop, be there for yourself. Even if it's 20 minutes, it's better than nothing. Just to go back, I have always been grounded, but I think I always pushed myself before the meditation.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Put that feeling, that ache, that whatever behind to just keep thinking that if you push forward that you'll get there. But in this year, realizing that, no, you actually have to slow down.
Yes.
To then push yourself forward.
But I think that's really important. And I think also as a creative, that mind, body, soul connection is so vital, and it needs to be as healthy as it possibly can
exactly.
be for you to be as truthful as you can be, which is be amazing in your creations or come up with that seed of inspiration that triggers something else. And so that's why you have to look after all aspects of yourself.
And also, I'm very much about the fact that if I'm resonating at a certain energy level, I will attract the right energy level.
I couldn't agree more.
And so it is so important that I make sure that I am as... that I am attracting exactly what I
You're
want.
You're as finely tuned to yourself
exactly.
as you can be. No, I couldn't agree more. Tara, it's so interesting talking to you. Can you tell... And I could spend all evening talking to you, quite frankly.
Same here.
Can you tell me about the greatest highs so far on your journey, on your creative journey? The things that have brought you the most joy?
It's funny. I think that I'm actually quite level.
Okay.
You know, I take the ups and the downs.
So that's interesting, because my next question was going to be, what are the lows?
Yeah, so I kind of sit, you know, I don't have these huge spikes.
Which is unusual for a creative.
It is unusual. I'm probably quite pragmatic.
Which I find really interesting. Another friend of mine whom I interviewed for this, Sheila McCain, she's a fashion designer and she has an activewear brand. But she worked for Oscar de la Renta and Donna Karan.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I
really
love
great.
Oscar.
And me too. Who doesn't?
I know.
But she was also, thank you very much. She also has a pragmatic side. And I'm fascinated and in awe of creatives that have that side.
Yeah, I actually am quite pragmatic. I'm very... I'm always thinking. I do know that I think probably more than I should, and that's why meditation is so important.
I have that too. I'm an overthinker.
So, but then at the same time, since I've been meditating, I'm realizing maybe I didn't have to think everything through so much. Maybe there is a genuine flow to things, and it doesn't have to be micromanaged so much.
Fair
enough. So I'm trying to relax in things.
And go with the flow?
Go with the flow and let it happen and respond and react.
I've learned the hard way, I think, that fighting with yourself brings you no joy whatsoever. So it's much better to go with the flow.
Exactly. And loving yourself.
Absolutely.
In that process, in your failures and your successes. And I mean, I can't actually, you know, granted, I will say opening the FT and seeing.
Oh, that must have been such a buzz.
That was a high.
Yeah.
I'll admit to that.
Yeah.
That was a high.
So tell us what that was. That was an article about things to buy or how to.
Well, it was in the How to Spend It. But she was talking about unusual, you know, how jewelry was going in an unusual
direction.
So Cartier was doing the cactus, and you know how the prickly and the unknown was then becoming kind of put on a pedestal for jewelry, and my pine cone necklace, which I'm actually wearing right now, was highlighted. And also to be in an article written in the first few paragraphs and with the likes of Van Cleef and Arpels and Cartier. Yeah, that was...
kind of like a heart-stopping moment.
It was. It was like, that's me. So, I mean, I would have to say that was probably one of the bigger highs.
I'm sure.
Lows, probably starting my business in the recession.
Okay.
And, you know, talking to Bergdorf Goodman, who loved my jewelry, but said that nobody's buying and nobody's paying their bills.
Yeah.
And that, you know, kind of having just come out with it and then not having a way to go forward.
Yeah, so you were kind of swimming upstream and not getting the traction.
But in a way, I know that I've survived, and because I've survived, it's real.
Absolutely. I think as a creative, what you do and who you are is so intertwined that when you face a challenge or have a low anywhere in your life, there is a knock-on effect to your to who you are and what you do.
The Death and Rebirth collection is based on somebody dear passing away.
Oh.
So, you know, the my path is in the talismans of the collections.
Yes.
You know, you can see them there.
Yeah.
They're as, you know, the Swallow collection was about, you know, the death of a relationship that was the dearest to my heart, but also the Swallows was about my moving on and kind of spreading my wings and finding myself and finding my new path. You know, as simple as people are like, oh, Swallows, everybody does Swallows. But for me,
but for you,
it was something
very pivotal.
Pivotal. And I did the Swallows with the bats because for me, you watched the Swallows at night, and then as dusk came, the Swallows went away and the bats came.
Yeah, yeah. So it made perfect sense.
And it was this night and day yin and yang cycle of the two merging and splitting through the day.
Before we go, Tara, could you define joy for you in three words for me, please?
Ooh, three words. Color.
Color.
Trees bring joy to me.
Okay.
And I feel that they are, you know, we talk about them being the tree of life and things like that. And I think we are, they are this symbol of our being connected and this complete cycle.
Give me one more.
And happiness, bringing happiness to people.
Which you do in spades, I think.
Aw.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure.